Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Mark the 11th chapter in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," so he's not limiting what he's talking about here to just the 12 disciples that are with him. He says, whoever. Do I have a whoever in the house? Yes. All right. Whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. He will have what? Let's say it together. He will have whatever he says. Again. He will have whatever he says. Say it again. He will have whatever he says. Now say it this way. Say, "I will have whatever I say." Poke yourself and say, "I will have whatever I say." Whatever I say, I have it. I have what I say. Because I'm a whoever. Jesus said, "I have what I say." Hallelujah. I have what I say. Glory to God. How powerful. Verse 24. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So notice in verse 24, he's talking about praying. But in verse 23, he's talking about saying. Verse 24, he's talking about praying. But in verse 23, he's talking about saying. Sometimes we ought to be praying, and other times we ought not to be praying. We ought to just be saying. Just saying. Sometimes we just need to speak some things, declare some things, say some things. Now, many times it starts out with praying. We come to God and we pray. We pray according to Mark 11, 24, knowing that whatever things we ask when we pray, we are to believe that we receive them. And then we know we will have them. We will have them. So we are to come and pray. And when we pray, at the time of our praying, we're believing. What are we believing? We're believing that we're receiving the things that we're asking for. We're coming, we're asking. But Bible, New Testament, faith, praying. Faith asking is believing you're receiving at the point of asking. You're receiving at the moment you're asking. So we're not asking hoping that we're going to have it. And now we'll wait and see if God will answer our prayer. We'll wait. I've asked and I've asked and I've asked. And now I'm waiting to see if it's going to really actually happen. That's not praying in faith. Praying in faith is believing you received it before you even see it. You believe you received it at the moment you asked for it. So that means we're going to have to slow down before we come before God and ask Him for things. We're going to have to come before Him and make sure we're in faith before we ask for things from Him. There's a waiting on the Lord. There's a waiting on His word, waiting in His presence, meditating in your heart on the things that He's promised you. And it's in that waiting, in that meditating, that feeding upon God's word, that God becomes more and more real to us. And God is a big God. He's the Almighty God. Huh? So when He becomes more and more real to you, the reality of His power comes into you. You begin to really understand that how powerful He is, how awesome He is, and how all things are possible with God. All things are possible. So that when you ask, no matter how crazy it might seem, how far-fetched it might seem, how out of reach it might seem, man, when God's real to you, God's big to you, and you realize nothing's impossible with Him, then bless God, you can ask. You can ask boldly. You can ask confidently, knowing that He can change this whole thing around. He can change my entire life around. He can change this circle. This is nothing for the Lord. This is a small thing for God. You know, all the affairs of this life are a small thing to God. All the stuff, people, you know, it's a big deal to man. It's overwhelming to humans. But there's nothing overwhelming to God. Nothing is overwhelming to Him. Everything is but a trivial thing to God. Not a problem. God doesn't have to use half His power to answer any of your prayer requests. Are you listening to me? Just a little static electricity from God changed the whole world. Change the course of nations. Come on. Change the direction of everything. Just a little static electricity. Nothing. Nothing. We're not talking about high voltage here. That's the kind of God you and I are praying to. That's the kind of God you and I are approaching and talking to. That's the God who says that He is for us and He is not against us. That's the God who is in us. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care what it is. I don't care how many of them there are. Doesn't matter if they all gather together in one accord. God's greater. One word from Him could just split it all to pieces. Break it all up, send everybody running in a million different directions. Right? That's who's in you. That's who's for us. So there's that waiting on Him and allowing Him to become bigger to us than the mountains that are around us. Bigger to us than the obstacles. Bigger to us than anything that we're facing in life. No matter how big it all might seem, God is huge. God is so far above it. He is so much bigger than it all. He's bigger than it all. So we wait on Him. We got to get into that reality. We can't go in there hoping and wishing that something will change, something will happen. We got to go in there knowing. I'm talking about going into the presence of God to pray and ask for something. You got to go in there knowing that this is yours. This belongs to you. And the moment you ask for it, bless God, you're receiving it. Or rather, you're taking it. Because the word receive and the word take are the same Greek word here in the Word of God that is used here in the Word. When it talks about receiving, it's the same thing as taking. So there's things to take. And we got to know when we're asking, we're taking. Which means when we walk away from that time of prayer, we've got stuff that we didn't have before we asked. We got it. And things don't always look different right away in the natural. But we know we will have it. Why? Because we have received it. Because we've already taken it with our faith in the Spirit. We already got it. And really, this is a fantastic illustration right here that Jesus is working off of when He's talking about faith to His disciples. This whole thing starts out with Him cursing a fig tree. It says in, verse 12. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, He was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, He went to see if perhaps He would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. So, you know, Jesus, again, he's operating as a human being here on the earth. A human being full of the Spirit of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit. But he didn't know everything according to the natural, in his natural human mind. He didn't know. Now, by the Holy Spirit, he knows all things. The same way you and I know all things, by the Spirit within us. But according to our natural mind, we don't know everything. And the same thing here with Jesus. See, he's someone to pattern our life after. We're to walk in his footsteps. We can be like him. That's what the Bible teaches. So, he sees leaves on the tree, and he goes towards it to see if perhaps he may find some figs on it. Verse 14 in verse 13, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Well, that was the point. Some people say, well, why did he curse the fig tree? I mean, it wasn't a fig tree. I mean, why did they do that to the fig tree? It wasn't even the season for figs. Why did he do that? Well, so his disciples would hear it. Why? Because he has a plan. It wasn't his original plan. But now Jesus, being spiritually minded, not being ruled by his hunger, he was able to shift gears. And even though he got over there, was disappointed there was no figs on the tree because he was naturally hungry, he just took it as an opportunity to teach his disciples some faith. So he demonstrated faith to them. Cursed the fig tree. Said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Now, is Jesus praying something here? Or is he just saying something here? He's just saying something. He's not praying. He didn't sit there and say, Father, I pray that you would curse this fig tree, that you would cause this fig tree to wither away and die. And I'm believing that tomorrow when I come back, that I'll get a good report from the gardener that the fig tree is no more. He didn't pray, did he? There's no praying like that. He's not even talking to the Father, is he? He's just talking to the tree. He's talking to the tree. And he says, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out the money changers and so forth. Now, verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And then he begins to teach the scriptures we were just looking at. So it came as a result of this illustration of cursing the fig tree that Jesus did in front of his disciples. And I want you to notice verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree. Now remember, the fig tree was from afar originally when they were walking. It wasn't on the original path that they were on. They saw a fig tree far off the path, and they went over to see if there were figs on it. So they went out of their way. Cursed the fig tree. Now they're passing by the fig tree. See, Jesus is deliberately doing this. He spoke to the tree so his disciples would hear it, and now he's walking in a way that they're all going to see the fig tree that he cursed and see what's become of it. And notice it says, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. From the roots. So the tree had all withered away, but where did it start? Where did the withering begin? In the roots, in the root system of that tree. Well, roots, is that something you normally can see? The roots of a tree, is that something you can see? Or is that in the unseen, under the ground, hidden under the dirt? So it's a perfect illustration here, because when Jesus turns around and says, you'll have whatever you say, just like I had whatever I said. See, Jesus knew what he knew that what he said would come to pass. And if you and I knew like Jesus knew, then we would have the same results Jesus had. Jesus did not sit here and say, well, this happened because I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. That's not what he did. He wasn't proving to them his deity. Jesus didn't curse the tree, walk past the tree, do all this to prove anything to his disciples. He was never out trying to prove himself to anybody. There was a lot of miracles and things that he did, and he did it in secret. He did it away from the crowds. He didn't want people to know about it. He didn't want all the crowds coming to him. It was causing him more trouble a lot of times. So he was trying to do things in secret many times, and he couldn't hide himself. So Jesus was not trying to prove his deity. He was never trying to prove that he was the Son of God. What he was trying to prove was that through him, we can have a faith in God that enables us to be able to declare a thing and know that it will be established for us. And that we will have whatever we say. That's what he wants to get over to you and I. That's why he did this whole illustration and had this teaching and put it in the Word of God for you and I to read. It was to help us to see what we can be and what we can do through faith in God. Wow. The power that he has invested in you and I. Incredible power that we have. Very important to understand this drying up from the roots. Because a lot of times people will hear this teaching. How many of you have heard this kind of teaching before? A lot of you have. You've been around here, you have. Concerning having what you say. And folks, you know, they get out there and they say, well, I'll try that. I'll try that. And they go out and they try that. But trying won't get it done. Trying doesn't get it done. It's believing. And there's no doubting to this believing. There's no questioning. There's no wavering. It's being fully convinced that you'll have what you say. You'll receive and have the things you ask for from God. You'll have it. And you can't doubt it. No doubting. How can you get to the place where you can ask God for something without doubting? I've already said it. You got to spend time with him. You got to meditate on his word. He's got to be more real to you. He's got to be more real to you than the circumstances of life. He's got to be bigger to you than anything else around you. His love for you has to be so real to you. You got to know how much he loves you. And it really should be easy because we have the cross to look at, to remind us of God's love for us. If he did not spare his only son, how will he not with him give us all things freely to enjoy? If he didn't withhold his son, what is he going to withhold from you? No good thing. No good thing. He's not going to hold any good thing from you. Praise God. And just like he died for you before you did anything good enough to earn it. In fact, you still haven't done anything good enough to earn it. But he still gave his son. Friend, he's not going to withhold anything back from you right now. He says, just ask. It's already yours. It's not a matter of earning it. It's not a matter of being the most spiritual person in this room. Our being spiritual is just our believing how great he is, how much he loves us, how much he gives to us all things freely to enjoy, how he will not withhold any good thing from us, how God's love for us is an unconditional love. Come on, he wants to make your crooked places straight. He wants you blessed coming in and blessed going out. I mean, God is so for us. You got to be convinced of that. You got to be convinced of that. You got to know that you know that you know God is for you. And the adversities you face in life is not because God's against you or God's trying to teach you something through all these negative things. You've got a devil that's against you. You got an adversary called Satan. He's the one against you. God's not against you. God is for you. Got to get convinced of it. So I'm preaching it, wanting some folks to get it. But you got to feed on it yourself. You got to meditate on it, because everything in this world, the spirits of this world, the circumstance of this world, is all working to undermine God's love for you and just make you feel like God isn't with you, God isn't for you, God's mad at you, God's out to get you. God's not that big. He's not that great of a God. Look at all the stuff that's going on. I mean, if God was such a big God, then why are all these things happening? Now, a lot of things are happening because Christians aren't speaking. Christians aren't speaking what they ought to be speaking. They aren't saying what they ought to be saying. A lot of times, Christians are just joining in with the world, taking in everything the world's saying, taking everything in the news media is telling them. They're just feeding all that into their system, and then they get up and go, I'll tell you what I think about it. And they start quoting ABC World News Tonight. They start quoting CNN. They start quoting Fox News. They start quoting. A lot of folks are just parroting what they're hearing in the news media, thinking they have some great revelation. They have all this knowledge. They're so brilliant. There's so many brilliant people. It's amazing how many brilliant people they are. And when you listen to him, it's like, you know, it's like this one guy. He just starts going off about the sports and starts making fun of a certain coach and so forth. And all these things. And all he's doing is repeating everything he hears on ESPN. And yet somehow he thinks he's an authority on the subject. Like he's got some inside revelation on the subject. He got no inside revelation. He just got ESPN in his head. But he thinks he's brilliant. Thinks he knows what's going on out there in the sports arena. Sad but true. Not you and I. God is looking for a church right now to rise up in the faith of God and change things. And friend, we can change things. We can change things. But we're going to have to stop with our opinions and start listening to the polls. And start listening to everything that's being flung around out there. And start listening to God. It's time to spend time with Him. He knows everything. He knows everything. And we sit with Him. In the Spirit. In the heavenly places. We have access to Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are one spirit with the Lord. And we can know what's going on and know what to do about it by revelation of God. And that makes you an authority on the subject. When you get a revelation from God about it, you are an authority on the subject. It isn't necessarily, well, how many years of experience you had in this field. How many years of experience? That don't mean you're an authority on it. A lot of folks think they're an authority on things and that they're really intelligent because they read a lot of books. But you've got to stop and look at some of these authors. You're not going to be any smarter than the authors that you're reading after. I read all these books. Okay, so you're as smart maybe as these authors are. How smart is that? You know what author I read after? I read after God. Come on. The Bible has many writers, but there's only one author. There's only one author. God is the author of the Word of God, and you can have and know His thoughts. You can allow your thinking to come to His thinking, and by the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you can be discerning, you can know things, you can have revelation about things, which is information that goes beyond natural means, that goes beyond your natural five physical senses. All the people in this world, it's through their five physical senses that they're gaining knowledge, but you and I, being born again and made spiritual alive, can receive knowledge through our spirit directly from the living God. That's called revelation. That's inside information. And it's by that revelation, that inside information, that you and I have a confidence. I have heard from God. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. The Word of God bears witness with it. This is the truth. This is the way it needs to be. This is how it needs to go. And you rise up out of that fellowship with God, out of that confident place of faith, and now you can what? You can begin to declare things. You can declare things knowing that you have what you say. It's going to go my way. Because my way is God's way. Because it's really God's way that we're going. It's really not my way, it's God's way. But God's way is my way. So it's going to go my way. That's what Jesus is trying to get over to us. That's what he's teaching us. He wants us to understand the kind of authority and power that we have when we have faith in God. And actually, where it says in verse 22, where Jesus said, have faith in God, that can also be translated, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith? What kind of faith is that? Well, you can go back to Genesis for one and see the God kind of faith. Genesis, the first chapter. Go right back here to the beginning with God. And the Bible says in verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And then what happened? And there was light. Sounds to me God had what he said. Right? Looks to me like God had exactly what he said. Now, it just finished saying, verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Verse 3 says, and God got depressed. It's so dark. It's so cold. It's so dark. This is not how it's supposed to be. And God began to whine and get all upset about the conditions of the day. I can't see anything out here. Is that what he did? He had a fit. He just had a fit. You know God had a fit. He started throwing things around. Of course, nobody could see it. He's in the dark. But he's just having himself a fit. You know what to do with himself. No. It's so lonely and cold and dark. No, he just looked at the dark and he said, let there be light. And there was light. And there was light. Now, was that light instantaneously there? Maybe. Or maybe it came forth through natural process. You know, God is all behind science. He's the one that created things in such a way that scientists can actually study it out and trace things back and figure things out and get in there and study how life works. All the life forms in this world, everything in this world, there's cause and effect, and it's mathematical, and there's little numbers they can put to it and figure all these things out, such details to it. So it's very possible God said, let there be light, and the science of light coming into being began to occur, began to transpire. Didn't say God blinked. It didn't say God waved a magic wand. Is that what it says? Bippity, boppity, boo. He didn't do that. He didn't do some kind of... He swung his hands a certain way. God said. And as you go down the line, he had everything that he said. Everything that he said. And it might have all begin to form and come together over the course of thousands of years. So he said it, and he might have had a deal with looking at darkness for a little while longer. We don't know how long. But over the course of time, things were happening. Things were coming into being that were not there, that were never there before. Things begin to be created that did not exist before. And suddenly now, this thing called light begins to occur. And suddenly where there's nothing but water, now there's dry land. And suddenly where there's no life, suddenly there's plant life. And then there's animal life. And then human life. And everything happened as God spoke it. God said it. And we know he believed it. And he had exactly what he said. And you come over here to Romans 4. Romans, the fourth chapter. Here it's talking about the faith of a man by the name of Abraham. And it says in Romans 4, in verse 17, as it is written, I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God. So he believed God. Even God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I mean, it don't exist. And he calls things that don't exist as though they did. So he looks into that darkness. And he says, let there be light. And meanwhile, there's no electricity. There's no outlet. There's no lamp. There's nothing there. For him to be saying, turn on the light. When there's no lights here, Jesus. You know, picture yourself out there in the wilderness. You know, it's pitch black. You turn to somebody and say, hey, turn on the lights, would you? They look at you, what in the world are you talking about? Turn on the lights. I don't have any lights. There are no lights. It would seem pretty ridiculous. Well, that's what God's doing here. He's out there in the middle of this wilderness without form and void, total darkness. And he says, turn on the lights. He calls it as though there's lights there to be turned on. He calls it as though you just got to hit a switch. It's all there. It's in place. But it wasn't, was it? There was nothing there. But he called it as though it existed, even though it didn't. Because that's who he is. He's a God who calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Now, why is that written there? That's written for you and I to get a hold of. To who? To us whosoever's. That's something us whosoever's got to get a hold of. That we have whatever we say. And the thing to realize is that we don't see it automatically right away in the natural. He says you'll have it. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be instantaneous. Now that's where a lot of folks miss it right there. A lot of folks get a hold of this. Some folks, they'll go out there, like I said, and they'll just try. I'm going to try this. And they go home, they start speaking everything under the sun. And there's no real faith, there's no real confidence because, again, they're just trying it. Trying is not believing without doubting. Trying has a lot of doubt in it, right? Trying is like 50-50. We're going to try it. No, there's no 50-50. You got to believe. You got to be fully convinced. And then there's some folks, they get a hold of this and they get a word from God and they get a hold of his promise and they get out there and they speak it. Praise God. And I mean, they no sooner speak it. And what comes right back at them? The exact opposite of what they said. In fact, sometimes the devil doubles down on them. And I mean, it looks twice as bad as it was before they spoke. And then what happens? I said. Now's the doubter. Here comes the doubter. I said. Before, go. It got worse. I said go. And then it gets three times worse. And guess what happens? We go try to find a help some other way. We go back to CNN. That's where we go. We go back to talking what they're talking out there in the world. Why? Because it looks worse than when I had said it. See? They don't stay with it long enough to allow it to come to pass for them. See, notice what it says here over Job, chapter 22. Isn't this exciting? Get excited. Well, I've tried it before. Get excited. I don't care what you tried. This is the truth. Truth works. God's not a liar. He don't lie. We could have exactly what we say. Verse 22, verse 27. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you. And you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. Whoo, hallelujah. Feel like you're in a dark place? Huh? Seems kind of hopeless? Look what he tells you here. He says, verse 28, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. And then he uses light as an illustration, taking us back to how God himself said, let there be light. And he had it established. It came to pass. See, this is the God kind of faith. This is God's faith given to you and I through Jesus Christ. Now, if you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it's verse 13, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of faith. And the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit lives in the born-again child of God. Are you a born-again child of God? If you're a believer in Jesus, you've made Jesus Lord of your life, you've received the Holy Spirit, he lives in you. Who's he? The Spirit of faith. What faith? The faith of the Holy Spirit or the faith of God. So when you got born again, you had the faith of God downloaded into you. The God kind of faith that calls those things that be not as though they were. The God kind of faith that speaks light into the darkness, even though there's no means in the natural for there ever to be light. Somehow, light comes in to being. That's the kind of faith you and I have. And here he says, you will also declare a thing. God did it. Yeah, it's great. Jesus did it. Uh-huh. But whosoever will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. Now, this is the Old Testament. You see, because this principle of faith isn't new with the New Testament. It's a principle God has been wanting to teach his people all along from the very beginning. He's been wanting to teach his people how to live by faith. In fact, Zechariah chapter 4. And in verse 7, he says, who are you, O great mountain? Now, remember, we started here in Mark 11, 23, talking about mountains. Isn't that right? You'll say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say will come to pass, you will have whatever you say. You got to speak to that mountain, speak to that obstacle. Here we're in the Old Testament. He says, who are you, O great mountain? I love that attitude right there, don't you? Oh, it's too much. It's too much. Notice how faith talks about this great mountain. Who are you? Who are you, O great mountain? before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Zerubbabel was the man that God had anointed to go back out of Babylon and go lead a group of people to begin to rebuild the temple in Israel. And they had all kinds of obstacles, lots of things against them. I mean, a lot of great mountains in front of them saying, you cannot rebuild this temple. But he says, who are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. And he shall, Zerubbabel, shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. He's talking about speaking to the mountain. Speaking to the mountain. You got these great mountains. How's Zerubbabel going to turn this mountain into a plain and get this temple built? How's it going to happen? By what? Speaking. By declaring grace, grace to it. There's been situations, you know, you deal with in life and you don't know all the details of it. You just know how this thing needs to turn out, but you don't know exactly how to cause that to happen. You just know God's grace is sufficient to make it happen. God's grace is sufficient to fix it. God's grace is sufficient enough to change this situation. I don't know all the details of how it's going to happen, but I know God's grace is sufficient to get the job done. So there's been plenty of things. I just looked at it and said, grace to you. Grace to you. What did I just do? I just put the ability, strength, and power of God on that thing. To get that thing to go in the direction God would have it go, which is the same direction I want it to go, because God and I are one. Hallelujah. See, Christians aren't these, oh God, please, please. You know, you got these artist renditions of the saints, you know, the saints praying. They look like ballerinas. But when we speak to some, we got so much power. And we can just look at it and go, grace to you. Now, the devil would like you to curse the person, right? Shoot some profanity out of your mouth, right? Just say a bunch of junk out of your mouth. But we look at it and go, grace to you. Oh, that's powerful. When you believe that, you're turning that mountain into a plain. Come on. You're changing that thing, man. It's getting rearranged. That thing's getting fixed. You can walk away from it. You just said grace to it. That's like saying be removed, be cast into the sea. There's some folks, people, I wouldn't say be removed, be cast into the sea. That doesn't sound very nice. So I had to say grace, grace to you. Grace to that situation. People come running and say, what's going to happen? All these things are going on. Grace. Oh. Grace to it. Grace to it. You don't have to know everything. God knows everything. You just got to get him involved in it. You just got to put him on the job. Come on. You put him on the job. Just by speaking him over the situation. Speak his ability into it. We're not limited to man's ability here. We got the grace of God. That's a great mountain. Have you seen from God's perspective what that looks like? Be a plain. That's what we have in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of faith. And again, this is the Old Testament. Zechariah, Job. We see this principle being laid out in Genesis. Of course, going back to Abraham over there in the book of Genesis, we just did a whole series on him. I mean, you know, Abraham's the father of our faith, and his name originally was Abram. And then when he was almost 100 years of age, God changed his name and said, you're no longer Abram, you're Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. God spoke that. I have made you a father of many nations. You are Abraham, which means father of many nations, father of a multitude. And that was Abraham's name for several more years before he ever saw a baby born through his wife, Sarah. Several more years. He didn't see it right away, but he stayed with it. He continued to grow in his confidence. He didn't shrivel in confidence at the face of the adversity. Don't let adversity cause you to draw back and weaken in your faith. Let it cause you to get more bold. Let it stir you up. Let it stir up a tenacity in you and say, oh, it's going to happen. It is happening. It's all coming to pass right now. It's going on right now. We already got this thing. I got news for you. We won. I already got the victory. And then you could break that down into specific areas. And that's something the Spirit of God. You know, there's some things going on. There's some things going on in our world today. And what rose up in my spirit is, we won. That's what rose up. We won. I knew that was God talking. We won. And I didn't quite have that. I knew that was him. That wasn't me. We won wasn't me. That was him. So I knew I had to get over into that. I had to get into an agreement with that. Do you understand that? That's coming out of my spirit. My head's going, okay, I know we need to. He said, we won. This is done. We won. So then I started moving in a certain way in prayer. My faith began to grow, and I started declaring, we're winning. Declaring it by faith. We're winning. I got that. We're winning. We're winning. Who? The righteous. The kingdom of God. The people of God. That's who's winning. The people of God are winning. We're winning. The righteous are taking over this place. This is our land. It don't belong to the perverted. It don't belong to the wicked. It belongs to the righteous. This land belongs to us. Hallelujah. Say the righteous are winning. We're winning. Well, God wants us to get to the place where we won. And we're not waiting for a certain date to figure out whether we won or not. Well, we'll see how that all turns out. No, we won. We won. The righteous won. Praise God. Hallelujah. But right now the church is winning. The church is winning. Somebody say, we're winning.
We're winning.
Well, we're more than conquerors. He said that. I mean, praise God. We got enough to take hold of. But we can begin to declare things, speak things, cause the enemy to become weaker and weaker and weaker. In fact, Spirit of God was leading me to do that in prayer the other day. You know, I'm in prayer before the Lord, but I'm not just praying, I'm saying. I'm over here saying. And I started saying in a boldness of the Holy Spirit, oh, man, the devil, these hordes that seem to have surrounded us and seem to be overwhelming us, they're fleeing. They're withering. They're melting away. They're scattering. The enemy is in confusion. The enemy's camp is all divided. They're turning on each other. They're in total confusion. Those are the things I'm speaking by faith. It's shriveling. See, we can keep asking God and 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 asking God. God, we didn't pray every day about this. We didn't ask God. Oh, God, please. Oh, God, do it. Oh, God, come. Oh, God, move. Oh, God, manifest. Oh, God. And all we do is just keep asking, but we never receive it. We'll walk away from prayer saying, prayer was good. I prayed good prayers. I prayed powerful prayers. Good. What did you receive? Huh? Well, we're hoping it all happens. Oh, you didn't pray anything. You might have been singing Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. It's the church I grew up in. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Come on, sing with me. Oh, Lord, kumbaya. Someone's praying, my Lord. Kumbaya. Someone's praying, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. That's sweet. You need to take it. You need to take it. Amen?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how sweetie you sound in prayer. Doesn't matter how sweetie you look. You could suck your cheeks in. You could do the whole thing. But if you don't take it, you've done nothing. So we got to take it. Then once we've taken it, according to Mark 11, 24, we believe we receive it when we pray. Once we have taken it, now we go over to verse 23, back up to verse 23, and now we're no longer asking for this thing. We now believe we have it, and it is according to how we have asked, and now all we do is say. We say how it is. So verse 24, we pray for it, and we receive it. Well, we got it. Hallelujah. Before we actually ever see it, we got it. And from now that point on, we're over in verse 23, where we're just saying, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. This is the way. I'm the father of many nations. I'm a father of many nations. This is the way it is. This is the way it is. This is the way it is. This is how it's going. This is how it's all turning out. Praise God. The enemy's on the run. The light is shining, and the darkness is passing away. It's in retreat. We're winning. Hallelujah. We're on the increase. Woo! We're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We're more than conquerors. That's who we are. And that's how we need to be speaking. We need to be speaking to everything in life. We need to get over into faith, believe we receive it, and then just start saying. If we go back to praying and asking for it again, then that undermines what we've already believed we received. Or it's just showing up that we never really believed what we asked for. And we're probably not receiving it now either. We got to receive it, whatever it might be. We got to receive it. Walk away and know you got it. Man, you got God on this thing. God is on this thing. He is fixing this thing right now. He is doing it. He's changing things. And there's a lot of people he can work through to make things happen. I believe God's got a whole army out there. He's got a whole army out there, but so many of them are just sleeping. It's like this huge giant that's just sleeping in the land. It's time to awake the sleeping giant. Come on. That's what I'm saying. The giant's waking up. The giant is getting up, man. God is filling His churches again. Churches are getting back to the Holy Spirit. They're getting back to faith. They're getting back to the power of God. The church is rising up, stopping their whining and complaining and their victim mentality, and they are declaring, they are decreeing, and they are having what they say. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Come on, stand on your feet with me this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.